Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Doctrine Matters podcast, where we're going to be talking about a very important doctrine that doesn't get talked about much, but it is very important, and it's known as the doctrine of saving faith. Stay tuned. The Doctrine Matters podcast starts right now. Welcome to the Doctrine Matters podcast, a tool to help believers rediscover true biblical doctrine and to help them understand and live out their faith in their homes, in their churches, and in their communities. Thank you for listening to this episode. Let's get right to it.
Deli Deo Gloria.
Well, welcome everybody to this episode of the Doctrine Matters podcast. As mentioned in the intro, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of saving faith. Now, when we think about saving faith, that is something that we need to really pull out of faith in general. So when we think of faith, there are a lot of ways that people have faith. People have faith that the bridge they're going over is going to hold up. People have faith that the chair they're sitting in is going to hold up as well. But when it comes to Christianity, faith is a bit different, but also a lot of the same. For example, when we think about faith, I think as a Christian, or at least from a Christian perspective, I think Hebrews 11 verse 1 gives us a really good definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now, if we were to go on to verse 2, it says, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." Verse 3, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So what does this mean? Verse 3 is a perfect verse for us to really drill down into and to see that God made something out of nothing. Now, we have faith that that has happened because we can't go back and be a fly on the wall and watch God create things. So we have to believe what the Bible says, that God created everything out of nothing simply by the word of his mouth. So God created all things, and we hope in those things. And then we think about our Christian life. We have faith and we hope for the things that we don't see. We hope for eternity. We hope for the return of Christ. We hope for all of these things, and we believe these things by faith. Now, when it comes to saving faith, we have to shift just a bit and almost compartmentalize saving faith as separate from kind of overall faith. However, if you think about it in this way, if you have a circle, and within this circle contains faith, Christian faith, there would be another little circle within that circle known as saving faith. And that's what I want to talk about on this episode. So we're really not taking saving faith and making it its own little doctrine apart from faith in general as a Christian, but it is part of faith as believers. We have to have saving faith to continue to have faith in the things that we hope for and look for, and the things that we don't see, the things that we patiently await as we live in the already not yet. So when we think about saving faith, I think Louis Berkhof does a wonderful job in giving us a definition of saving faith. And he says this, and I quote, "Saving faith is a conviction wrought by the Holy Spirit regarding the truth of the gospel and a trust in the promises of God in Christ." So there's some key words here that we need to take out of this definition as we relate them to saving faith. So one of the first key words is the Holy Spirit. I know that's two words, but one person, one man, Holy Spirit, he is a he. The Holy Spirit is here, and it's the conviction wrought or brought forth by the Holy Spirit regarding the truth of the second word here, gospel, the good news, and trust in the promises of God in Christ. So we have gospel, Christ, Holy Spirit. We have these words here. So I think we can look at the words gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We'll get into more of that here in just a second. But we look at the word Christ. So saving faith can turn our gaze to that of Christ Jesus and the work that he did on the cross for sinners. So saving faith points directly at Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to saving faith, the church has historically understood that saving faith has three different elements within it. First of all, those are the facts. You have to have the facts about the gospel. When we think about the gospel, what are the facts? We'll get to that in just a minute. The second element of saving faith is that you must be able to comprehend those facts. You must be able to read these facts, hear these facts, understand and comprehend these facts. And then when we comprehend the facts, to really have saving faith, we must believe or place our trust in those facts. So you can't have saving faith without those three things. Now, can you have saving faith if you just have the facts and comprehend those facts? Absolutely not. You have to have the belief and the trust, or I like to say you must submit to those facts and fully and truly believe and affirm those facts. So what are these facts that we need to be comprehending and believing? Well, we go back to Louis Berkhof's definition. We see that he is highlighting Christ in the definition of saving faith. So we look to Christ. What has Christ done? We look to the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done and his work on the cross. So I can't think of any better place to go in the Bible to really see what the facts are when it comes to what we need to believe, actually what we need to hear, comprehend, and then believe. I can't help but think about going to a very specific place in the Bible, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at the first four verses there. So when we think about the facts, what are the facts that we must believe about Christ, about the gospel, to be saved? Well, let me just read this to you. Paul says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, with which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And then verse 3 goes on to say, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." So here come the facts. "Why, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." So to have saving faith, here are the facts. Number one, we can look right here and say, Christ died for our sins. Well, the first fact you must understand and know is that you and I are both sinners. You are a sinner. And the second fact is that Christ died for your sins. We see that right here. And then the third fact is we have to know and believe that he was buried. That's the third fact. And then the fourth simple fact we have to see, or we do see here, is that he was raised. He did not stay dead. He was resurrected. Now, this is the simple facts that one can have, that one can comprehend, but then to truly be saved, one must believe those facts, that you are a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, that Christ was buried, that he arose on the third day. He came out of the grave. He did not stay dead. So those are the facts that you must comprehend and believe to be saved. There are so many people that can take these four facts from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. They will comprehend those facts, but they don't submit to those facts. They don't believe them because they believe that there are other ways and other religions that get you to heaven. Or they say all religions lead to the same place. And I would quickly say, yes, they all lead to the same place. And that is the judgment seat of Christ, where they will be judged along with the rest of the world. And it's only those who have placed their faith in Christ Jesus alone and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection who will be saved. So quickly, a recap is saving faith contains three elements: facts, comprehension of the facts, and a belief in the facts. So the next question is, where does this saving faith come from? Or where do we get saving faith? And the simple answer is this. We get it from God. A saving faith is a gift from God. And then going back to Louis Berkhof's definition, it is a conviction from the Holy Spirit. So when we hear these facts, we begin to comprehend these facts, the Holy Spirit convicts us and allows us to believe the facts. So faith is a gift from God. One of my favorite chapters in all the Bible is Ephesians chapter 2. And in it, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and it's easy to gloss over this if we're not careful. But it says that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So we see that grace is a gift of God. We see that salvation is a gift of God. And we see that the faith that is needed to be saved is also a gift from God. So when we think about this saving faith, we must believe that God has done something within us. He has regenerated us and allowed us to have this faith to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about saving faith, is it just granted out of midair? Or we just, hey, here? Is God just dishing out faith to everyone? Or not everyone, but whoever He wills? In a sense, yes. But there is something else that is needed for any of us to have this saving faith. Yes, it's a gift from God, but we also need the Word of God. We have to have the living Word of God to be saved, to know the facts. I just read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Those are the small, simple, elementary facts of the gospel that one must believe to be saved, and it came from the Word of God. It didn't come from my imagination. It didn't come from anyone's imagination. And as Paul, as the writer of 1 Corinthians, it didn't come from his imagination. Peter tells us that the Bible was written as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this came from God. The Word of God is what leads people to hear the facts. The Holy Spirit helps people comprehend the facts, and then God gives us the gift or grants us this faith to believe the facts. So we must have the living Word of God. We can only be saved by reading it. I know there's people that have been saved by reading, simply reading the Bible. I've heard salvation stories of people in their hotel room who reach into that shelf or that drawer by the bed, and they pull out that Gideon Bible, and they begin to read it, and they read it, and they read it, and they're saved as a result of reading the Word of God. That is God's Word coming to life in their awakening and stirring within them, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just reading the text can save or aid in saving, and then God grants the gift of salvation. It's very important that we then take the preaching and teaching of the Word of God very seriously. I tell my church, along with our elders, we all believe that the preaching is the primary responsibility when we gather as a church. Yes, we love to sing the truth. We love to pray together. We love to be together. But the primary reason, that the central thing of our gathering, is the proclamation of the Word of God, because we believe the Word of God. And we believe Romans chapter 10 when it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So we preach the Bible, we preach the Word, we proclaim the gospel in hopes that someone would come to saving faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can then know that to truly be saved, we need the true Word of God. That's why a lot of people push back against some of these mega churches and some of these churches that aren't really teaching the Scriptures. They're just kind of teaching life lessons, or they're trying to be motivational speakers, or they're doing any other thing but proclaiming the truth from the Word of God, because we believe that it is needed for salvation. We find the facts about who God is, the facts about Christ. This is where we find the attributes of God, where we learn and understand, begin to really dig in to understand who God is. And it's the Word of God that brings people into saving faith. So when we think about saving faith, we also have to think about a couple of other things, a couple other faiths that are out there. So Typically, if you don't have saving faith, you could have what we call historical faith or temporary faith. Now, a historical faith is understanding the claims of Christianity and even maybe comprehending the claims of Christianity without the belief. So I believe that there are many professing Christians out there who have a historical faith, not a saving faith. They know the facts. They may know more theology than I do. There are many people out there that know theology that can quote the scriptures, but if they died right now, they would go to hell because they simply know the facts and maybe even comprehend some of the facts, but they do not truly believe the facts. It's all just kind of a head knowledge. It's a puffing up of the head. They know so much, they just have not submitted their life to what they know. So this is a historical faith, and sadly, many people will go through that narrow gate. The ones that do go through the narrow gate, they'll stand on the judgment, at the judgment, and be welcomed in. They'll hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But for those that are thinking they're going through that narrow way and that narrow gate, they're actually on the path that leads to destruction. It just doesn't look like somebody who's standing on Kensington Street in Philadelphia, hunched over from fentanyl, or a walking zombie because they're all tweaking out or something like that, or because their life doesn't look like it's riddled with sin like many other people's lives do. Their life may look neat and tidy and theological, but it would still send them to hell because they haven't truly believed in the facts that they have comprehended about who God is and who Christ is and the work that he did on the cross. James chapter 2 verse 19 even tells us that the demons have this historical faith, that they believe and they shudder. They believe Christ. They know who Christ is. They know the claims of Christ. They comprehend the claims of Christ and they shudder at that, but they don't submit themselves to those facts. So therefore, they are unregenerate. So that's a historical faith. Many people have that in our world today. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, but didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do all these things in your name?" But he will say, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, for I never knew you." So don't be fooled with a historical faith. Check your hearts to make sure you truly have a saving faith. Now, this other faith that we need to think through is a temporary faith. And the scriptures speak to a temporary faith. A temporary faith is one that believes for a short time, but then falls away. So Jesus gives us a perfect example of this in the parable of the sower. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, Jesus says this, speaking of the seed, other seed fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Jesus then would go on in verses 20 and 21 to tell us exactly what this parable meant. When he says, "The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away." So this is a man who hears the word of God and is excited about the word of God, receives the word of God with joy. But then when trials happen, when things happen, when life happens, when things get rough, when things are tough, there is a great falling away. There is a falling away in his life. He turns from the things of God and he no longer pursues Christ, no longer follows Christ at all. And also, if persecution were to come to this person, there would be a falling away, a turning from Christ. I think about it this way. Someone who has a temporary faith, if they were to have a gun to their head, and God forbid that happened, but I fear that it is coming, and it does happen in other parts of the world, but I fear that those people with a temporary faith, with a gun to their head, and somebody would say, "Renounce Christ or else," they would get on the other side of that gun with them and say, "I renounce Christ. Let's go point it at somebody else." That's what a temporary faith looks like. When hardships happen or when persecution happens, that person falls away. So we see that the scripture is clear that apart from the sovereign work of God in our lives, the best that sinful humans can do and achieve is a historical or a temporary faith. There has to be a sovereign supernatural work of God in our lives to be able to have this saving faith. It is a gift, again, given to us by God Himself. So the question, as we begin to kind of land this plane here on this episode, is, do you know the facts of Christianity? Do you comprehend the facts of Christianity? And have you submitted your life? Do you believe the facts of Christianity? Do you know Christ? Does He know you? That is the only way to receive this saving faith. So it's not a proper hermeneutic. It's not a proper understanding of all of these great doctrines like justification or sanctification, although you need to have a proper understanding of these things. That's not what I'm saying. But just having a proper understanding of theology does not equal saving faith. Saving faith is something that is very easy to do. It's very easy to understand the facts that you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again. And you believe those facts, you turn from your sin, you change your mind on your thinking, you turn from your sin and you place your faith in Christ Jesus alone, and the Bible says you will be saved. And it's from there that you begin to grow in your walk with Christ. It's there you begin to understand more theology. It's there you begin to really be able to unpack and learn these doctrines. There's a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 11 that I love. And this is for those that truly have saving faith. I want to read you what it says here. In verse 33 of Romans chapter 11, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways." I love this. "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways." So we may say, well, I don't know everything and I'll never understand everything. None of us will. The depths are too deep. The claims and the things and of who God is far too wide for us to understand on this side of eternity. But if we have saving faith, we should spend the rest of our lives searching the Scriptures to better understand God, to understand who He is, His attributes, and so that we can submit our lives to Him and live for His glory. So I want to encourage you and challenge you on this episode to really check your heart to see if the faith that you possess is truly a saving faith that has been brought forth by a conviction of your sin from the Holy Spirit and has pointed you to Christ, who died for that sin, who was buried and rose again, where He ascended back to heaven and He is seated, interceding, where He is seated until He returns. Have you repented of your sin and believe in faith that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again? Or do you just know the claims of Christianity and comprehend the claims of Christianity and you're just running with that? Do you love Jesus? Even in your weakest moments, do you love Christ? Do you want to turn and be delivered from this, the sin that we have here on this side of eternity? Are you ready to be rid of this body and rid of all of this sin to where you will sin no more and you'll be with Christ forever? I don't want you to be caught up in a historical or a temporary faith. I want you to have the real thing, because those who possess saving faith will persevere to the end, where they will see Christ their Savior one day. If you do not possess this saving faith in which I speak of today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you of your sin and that you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ even today. Feel free to comment. Feel free to send any questions or comments to me directly at doctrinematterspodcast@gmail.com, all lowercase. And it comes right to my email inbox. So we've had several folks reach out in the past, and I would love to answer any questions you have or communicate in any sort of way. So you can comment there, or again, you can email there, or again, comment on YouTube or the Facebook links, whatever works best for you. But thank you for listening to this episode. Pray that you have this saving faith. And next episode is going to be one that relates to saving faith, because I believe it is very important for us to have an answer to, or at least be wrestling with an answer. And that is, if saving faith is made up of facts, comprehension of facts, and belief in facts, what happens when babies die? What happens to aborted babies? What happens to miscarried babies? What happens to stillborn babies? What happens to children? What happens to the mentally handicapped when they die? If they can't know the facts, comprehend the facts, and believe the facts, what happens to that whole section of people who fall into those categories? Where do they go when they die? That's going to be a question that I unpack, and I'm going to tell you what I believe on the next episode of the Doctrine Matters podcast. So thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Look for that episode to drop soon, and God bless.